So today, I'm doing number 9 in the Gospel series, and I'm calling today's word, family. I'm looking in Matthew and Luke, the two longest Gospels, where Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer and then teaches them the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, the Father of his family in the earth. The accounts of this are in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 12. So I'm going gradually through the events. Matthew has a bit more detail than Luke, so I'm going to go there. Reading in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets so that people can see them. I'm telling you, they already have their reward. But for you, when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and pray to your Father privately. And your Father, who knows every hidden thing, will openly show you afterwards how he has answered you." Now, that kind of prayer works. Jesus had criticized the show-off Pharisees for good reason, because they looked good on the outside, but all they had on the inside were big egos. He called them hypocrites, which means actors, and their prayers weren't for people's needs, but instead they were opinions about how holy they were and basically how holy they looked. So the first lesson from Jesus was, don't pray for show, because you're putting your ego on display instead of God. And then he gave them that radical prayer alternative. When you pray, go into your room and close the door. But this was more than just an alternative. You see, the earliest things that Jesus did and said were radical. But he uncovered their religious hypocrisy and exposed their religious power plays and started up a revolution that he never let up with, a spiritual revolution. And for that, they killed him. And Jesus is still speaking and leading that revolution from heaven today, if we want to listen. I want to unpack that radical prayer. Go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father privately. And that's about all the inner private things that are going on inside of you. The emotions, the anxieties, the hopes, the dreams, the threats, the fears, and the questions. All those questions, all those uncertainties. And then he says, and your Father, who knows every private hidden thing about you, will listen to you. And what you need to hear or to see or to understand will be made clear to you. It will stare you in the face if you keep your antenna up. The listening ear, the consciousness that God is a God who hears and wants to answer. It's the antenna of your togetherness with God, and that's always there for us. Now, this was radical. It was radical for those disciples to hear for several reasons. I mean, these were the ones that were close to him. And it's radical for us. Firstly, it was radical because no one in all of Israel approached God as being their personal father. It was unheard of. It was almost blasphemous for anybody to say, God is my father. In fact, that's what they charged Jesus blasphemy on. Who do you think you are? But Jesus said that God was his personal father all the time. He said he was the Son of God. And he said, I and the Father are one. And he also said that he only did what he heard the Father say. Now that drove the Pharisees mad. Jesus said it because it was true, and Jesus wasn't mad, and he wasn't a liar. Now the disciples would have heard him saying that a lot, and they would have believed it, because all the wisdom that he spoke and all the amazing miracles he performed demonstrated to them that this man was from somewhere else. He was here doing something that had never been done before, saying things that had never been said before. But now, going back to his radical prayer, he said to them, when you pray to your Father, that's radical. Because why didn't he say, when you pray to my Father, to his Father? Because they would have understood that. They would have said, yeah, you say he's your Father, we believe you. What are you telling us to pray to him as our Father? And here's the second radical thing. Jesus was inviting them to become part of the God family that had never been on offer as far as humanity was concerned. Nobody knew that. But God the Father had always planned that for humanity. The Jews thought, this is just for Israel, we're a special nation. Oh yeah, you'll lead up to something that Jesus has come to complete and now to do something totally new about all of humanity. That had never even been thought of before. That's why I'm calling today's word family. It's like God 101, his big idea. Church should be more like this instead of being so much like an institution. He then goes on to teach them the Our Father prayer, not just his Father prayer. He doesn't say to them, when you pray, pray his Father who is in heaven. See, we just take it for granted. Our Father who art in heaven. This is making history. So God is all about family. He started the idea, and why does it get forgotten? It's probably because many church people, well, sadly say some church people, have tended to talk about church rules and religion rather than loving and caring relationships. Now, I was taught in my early years in the catechism the answer to the question, why did God make us? The answer was, to know, love, and serve God in this life and to be with him forever in the next. Amen. And most Christians agree with that statement. But some think the emphasis is all about being a servant, to know, love, and serve God more than anything else. It's not about God wanting more servants. Let's look at that for a moment. To know and to love and to serve. That's a beautiful thing to be able to understand. How many people do you know? How many people do you love? And how many people do you serve in your life? I'd say there are many. First, you can't know someone if you don't relate to them. And you can't love them if you don't know them. We're talking about relationships. And I'm not saying that knowing someone is loving them, but it starts there. And when the relationship has qualities like acceptance and friendship, you're on the spectrum of liking and loving. And that could be on a range from, say, 1 to 100. And you can work that out. You know where to put somebody. And I'm not saying that liking and loving someone means you have to serve them. But what does serving mean? It means that somewhere on another spectrum, a serving spectrum, on a range from 1 to 100, you might want to just be there for them in one way or another. And being there for someone means you are actually serving them in some way, Just think of some of the ways you could do that and the ways that you are doing that now, knowing, loving, and serving. And it's good for everybody if that's always a two-way thing. From God's point of view, He's committed to knowing and loving and serving us, and He understands how difficult it is for us as His children down here to be that way for Him. Loving parents have that same kind of heart, a heart for their children. They try to be there for their children, giving them the best that they've got so their children can be the best that they can be. But God doesn't say, if you're not going to be there for me, I'm going to punish you and make you suffer. No. He says, if you don't want to know me and love me and be there for me, let me put it another way. Let me give you the good news first. If you do want to know me and love me and be there for me, you will live a fulfilled and meaningful life and you'll make the world a far better and happier place. But if you don't want to live that way, you find you just end up causing yourself unnecessary suffering anyway. I'm not going to punish you or make you suffer. It's going to happen. So the way I see us as being in the God family, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is that we can see God the Father as a devoted parent who has given us Jesus as our older brother. See, the reason I'm saying this is, if I want to go into my room, close the door and speak privately, I want to know who I'm talking to. And Jesus has introduced me to His Father, and the Holy Spirit introduces me to Jesus, so I'm thinking, well, okay, now I'm talking to you, Father, I'm talking to you, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. I'd like to get a handle on how to know you, how to know you, how to know you. And so I can see the God the Father as a devoted parent. He's given us an older brother, Jesus, who's dedicated to us. He's laid down His life for us so we can have His life within us and have the same faith and trust in His Father that He has. He demonstrated that perfectly. And I can see the Holy Spirit as the one who touches our hearts. Touches our hearts. I mean, put something in there so that we can know, relate to God and love and serve one another. God 101, the greatest commandment. Now, that is the best kind of life there is on this earth. So Jesus tells His disciples about how our Father wants to be there for all of us in the Lord's Prayer. Now, I said I'd talk about the Lord's Prayer because that was the very next thing He did. After He'd said all of that, all the radicals, then He said this, and I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer from Matthew's Gospel, and then I'm going to pray it how I hear the Holy Spirit speaks to me in the Our Father prayer, and that'll be it. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's not a long prayer. But this is the way that I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me when I probe a bit. So what does that mean, please? Our Father, living in heaven, You have the most exceptional and unique name, God. We want Your way of commanding everything in the universe to play out here on earth as it does in heaven. Please keep looking after our basic human needs every day. And forgive us for letting You down the way we do, just as we can forgive others who let us down, often without meaning to. and keep us from the trap of always wanting to have what we want when we want it, called temptation. Guard us from the powers of darkness. For you are in majestic command of everything in the universe with limitless power, and you give to us a stunning display of design and beauty in your creation, now and throughout all the ages. Amen. So as an amen to that, I'd just like to commend you that when we pray to God, we can pray with hope and expectation that he can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He is devoted and he is dedicated to that. Amen.